Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, it's good to be back. It's good seeing all some everybody's familiar faces. We haven't been back in a while, but it's always good to come back with Curtis and give messages. And there you go. I love my church. You know, I love everybody here today, and it's such an honor to give messages up here, because, you know, when you give a message, you learn something you never ever learned. David, you can attest that a rule. I mean, it's kind of cool, because it's like, wow, I didn't know that, and I get to share that with the church and stuff, and you get so blessed and you feel blessed. It's like, yeah, you go through your weekly activities, and, you know, you pray and you read. But when you get into it and really study something that you're going to preach upon, and you're saying, well, I didn't know that. Wow, this, didn't know that about that. You know, it kind of makes sense and stuff like that. So today, we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 3. And this is a good one. I learned quite a bit off of this one here today. I mean, just, you know, partiality, legalism, the Pharisees. You know, how wicked they were and how they went about their lives as being exposed, as being seen, and taking matters into their own way, you know, and putting themselves above God. And that's exactly what you just do not want to do. So, you know, we're going to look at some mistakes that they made, or some mistakes that we should not make knowing the Lord today. Mistakes that we should not make knowing the Lord. And we all have been guilty of them. I know I've been guilty of these points here at one time or another. Number one is, don't ever prioritize religion over God. Okay? And we're going to look at Mark 3. And I'm going to read at verse 1. It says, healing on the Sabbath is the title of this message. And we're starting at Mark 3, 1. He says, and he entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely. Who's they? The Pharisees. Whether he would heal them on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, Jesus is speaking, he goes, step forward. And then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might kill him or destroy him. Okay. So it all started out in Capernaum. Okay, this was in Capernaum, Jesus' home away from home. The reason Jesus was in the synagogue that day was because it was the Sabbath day. That's where Jews went to church and attended religious services. Okay, so Jesus was in the right place at the right time during this passage. And he's there for the right reason. What do you go to church for? To praise God, to pray, to hear God's word, to worship with God's people. You know, as an example, like what we're doing this morning. We came to church today to worship God, right? To praise the Lord, to thank the Lord, to get into his word with like-minded believers, okay? And that's the way it should be. Praising God, worshiping God. And that's why the man with the withered hand was there in the first place. He was looking for hope, okay? He wanted help with his hand. He was looking for healing. And where else could you go for healing when you need help? Or where, when healing, you want to be in God's house with God's people, believing you will find God and praying. And that's why he was there. Because, you know, you think about it. Why do people come to church to begin with? I mean, do they come out of guilt? Do they come as a work? Do they come, out of obligation? What is the reason why we come to church? You know, if you think about that. You know, or checking your religious box. Well, he made the holy day. He made this day. He made that day. He made Ash Wednesday. Yeah, he attended. Yeah, he did do that. That's a religious service that he did. Or did you come to worship God and listen to God's word and to hear God's word, which is awesome? But the Pharisees didn't come to church for any of that. They're coming for rules. That's why in Mark 3 it says, why did they come? What is behind the Pharisees' thought towards the Lord? Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, as we see in this passage. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day. So get the picture. They were not there to find God. They were there to find fault. They were there to try and catch Jesus doing something that they didn't like. Okay? Remember, every time the Pharisees got around Jesus, they didn't care about the truth he was speaking. They didn't care of what he was saying that could change somebody's life. They were always looking for Jesus to mess up and falsely accuse him, always watching and waiting for that moment to make a mistake. That's why modern-day Pharisees are doing that now. What is the word called? It's called legalism. And they're all over the churches today. And that's what turns the non-religious people off. Legalism is when you turn your personal preferences into divine principles, or put it this way, you judge people by whether or not they live up to your standards, not God's standards. Yours. How they act, how they dress, how they communicate. You know, it's standards, judging by your standards and not God's. And they go with what they think instead of what God says. Judging people by the standard instead of God's. Talking about, you know, looking for faults in somebody, in someone else's life, so you could judge them instead of looking for what's right in their life so that you can encourage them. A legalist always finds fault in others, but you rarely see the fault that they find in themselves. And another word is being self-righteous, okay? And you see the speck in somebody's eye, but you don't see the log in your own eye. And that's where grace comes in. You know, you look down upon people, let's say, who have ailments or are struggling. As an example, maybe alcohol or drugs, or they don't, you know, wear the right tie to church or you see them with, like, tattoos or nose rings, and you're judging them, and they're here for healing, okay? And, you know, I was guilty of all that, no doubt about it. You know, before I came to this church, you know, you're always going to look down upon somebody for the way they look, and you're judging them, okay, for the way they act. They're here for a specific reason, to find the Lord, okay? And when you start judging them, you fall into the category of the Pharisee manners, the ways of personal judgment. And then you're just as guilty of that. Because we're going to look at this passage right here in James. If you've got your Bibles, turn to James 2, verse 1. And this sums it up. I mean, when I came across this passage, I just said, you know, wow, that really speaks volumes, you know, how evil it is. And I will start with James 1 reads, it says, my brothers, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with what? Partiality. For For if there should come into your assembly, okay, let's take our assembly, right here, a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. Look at this. Boy, real graphic here. And you will pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, hey, you sit here in the good place. And you say to the poor guy, you go to the back of the church. Or you sit here at my footstool. You know, have you not shown partiality among yourselves? And look what he goes on to say. You know, he really gets deep with this. He says, and become judges with what? Evil thoughts. Man, is that really, really going deep with that? We've become judges with evil thoughts. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. We're no better than anybody. Okay. Listen, my brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be what? Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love them. Many are first. Many who are first will be last, and last first. That's why, you know, when you have a visitor come to church, go out of your way to be nice to them. Because it only takes one look the wrong way from somebody and they'll never come back. They're looking down with pride like, you know, what is he doing here? That's wrong. When I first came to this church back in 2005, you know, because before I was kind of like, searching for churches and stuff like that. I just couldn't find the right one. I was always having a problem with it. But I met Dan's dad and a lady by the name of Harriet Bowman. Gene, you know Harriet. And Phil, you know, yeah, she sat right over there. Yeah, yeah. But I was, you know, a young kid or whatever like that. But I didn't feel threatened when I came here. Dan's dad was real nice. Harriet was even nicer. She got up and I sat in the back over there in the corner by that window, and she came and talked to me and was nice. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm not being judged. I'm not, you know, I'm being welcomed here instead of, well, what's he doing here? Why is this kid here? Look at him. He's got all them tattoos and his hair's all colored, and he looked down upon that. Looked down upon that guy. So I felt welcomed. And that's the way it should be. That's what God loves everybody. He loves the sinner. He died for the sinner. You know, we see this morning, meeting this morning, the blessings of grace. That's what it's about. It's about grace. That's it. Not about works or doing something. That's why you can throw lordship salvation out the window. You could throw being self-righteous out the window. I hate that. You know, we all struggle down here on a daily basis. But it's easier with the Lord than without the Lord. That's the difference of it, is keeping focused on it and being humble and being thankful. God resists the what? The proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I love being humble. Listen to that word. And we pray and we worship, and he's the one we give the glory to. Nothing down here. So, when we're looking at these wicked Pharisees, that's why Jesus is unbelievable. He always had them. He always knew what was up with these wicked doers. The Pharisees didn't have a problem with what? Jesus healing on the Sabbath day, right? What do you think they had the problem with? Anybody. They had a problem with what he was doing. They didn't have a problem with him doing that work. It was they had a problem with him doing it on the Sabbath. You know, I learned that when I was studying this. They had a problem with their rules is what they had a problem with. He was breaking their rules, right? Okay. Old Testament meaning you work 6 days and on the seventh day you rest. Is that right? Okay. The Bible isn't clear on what work is, though. It's just interesting. I mean, ask yourself this question. Is it okay to cut the lawn on Sunday? Is it okay to paint your bedroom? Is that a work? Is this what the Pharisees are associating that with? No, it's okay. You're right. It's okay to do that. The Bible doesn't say, it just, all the Bible says is to rest and work, okay? So you work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Well, the religious leaders said, well, we're going to do what God didn't do, so they added to God's words what they did here. So they can define what work is. They took God's day of rest to a day of stress. That's exactly what they did. They placed so many rules and regulations on this simple commandment that what every other religion in the world does, Jesus said, you know, it's real simple. This passage right here defines the whole thing. You know, they're stressed out, they're worried, they're unsure, they're listening to not God's word, they're listening to man's rules and regulations and his word. But you know what Jesus says, which I like about it? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and tired or heavy laden. What? And I will give you what? Rest. He will give us rest. He didn't say, come to me and I will give you rules and regulations and things to do. He didn't say that. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Because you're adding onto God's word. As an example, you know, you come to Jesus, he will give you rest. Here's what the difference between religion and Jesus is. You come to religion, you get do's and don'ts. Okay, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Okay, it's like you've got to do this, you got to do that. Why don't you say instead of I've got to, I got to go to church. You know, you ever hear that? Isn't that funny? Who said that? Yeah, I got to go to church. Why don't you say I get to go to church? You ever think of that? I got to do this. Oh, I got to go to Holy Week. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to read my Bible. Why don't you say, I get to read my Bible today. I get to get on my knees every day and pray and thank God for my blessings. You want to see how hard it is without that? Here's what the difference is. You know, you come to religion, you get do's and don'ts. You come to Jesus, he will give you rest. I like this quote. I found this quote. Listen, David's going to like this. The church is going to like this quote by a revivalist. Listen to this. This is great. I love it. He says, I'd rather have 10 people that want God than 10,000 people who want to play church. Okay, we need to ask ourselves that question every day. Did we come to find God today or did we come to play church today? Is it religion or God? It's only going to be one out of the two. That's the first mistake, is religion. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters down here and counts, is do you have that? Most people do not have that. They've got religion. They don't even think about it. All they think about is I'm a great guy. You know, I've done a lot of good things down here. I've helped the poor. I've given to missionaries. I've given my money. How dare you judge me? I am perfectly fine. I don't need to go to church. You know, I am good enough. And I think about that. They go by being good enough and doing so many works. Well, how do you know you've done enough at the end of the day to get to where you think you're going at the end of the day? I mean, what if you're like 5 or 10 short or 3 short? Hey, even 1 short, you're not going to make it? Is that how it kind of comes around? You know, it is religion or God. And the second mistake is prioritizing rules over being good, doing what is right. Jesus knows the Pharisees are watching him, and he gets right to the point of the verse. He knows their thoughts. Jesus said, the man with the shriveled hand, he said, stand up in front of everyone. And then Jesus, he's unbelievable. He says to them, which is lawful on the Sabbath? He's asking this question, okay, which is awesome. To do good or to do evil? In front of everybody. To save a life or to kill? But they remained silent because, you know, Jesus had them again. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He knew how many times how many times did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Does anybody else? Yeah, anybody? Jesus healed on the Sabbath many times. Does anybody know how many times he did that? 7 times Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What does that tell us? It's okay to do that, is what that tells us. The reason the Pharisees weren't getting upset, or they were getting upset, is because he did it on the Sabbath. Jesus didn't follow rules. He wanted to do good. They were making rules about the rules. Okay? The man with the shriveled hand could have been healed on a Monday. Do you ever think of that one? If Jesus wanted to respect what the Pharisees were doing, he could have just put the day off. He could have did it the next day on a Monday. But that's what I love about the Lord, is he right to the matter. Calling them wicked, evil people out. Teaching what is right. Saying that it's not about that. It's not about the works on this day. You know, he had no respect for them. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that because we're getting into the meat of it right now. You know, because he didn't respect that. The Pharisees were getting upset because he didn't on the Sabbath. They were making the rules. Now, man with the shriveled hand, he could have done it on a Monday. So this is where he sticks it to the Pharisees. He doesn't care what they think or say. He says to the man, get up, and I'm about to change your life. Never puts rules over goodness. Jesus didn't do that. Don't put rituals over grace. Jesus responded to the Pharisees. He says he looked around at them in what? Anger. And deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, they always say, did Jesus get angry? Yeah, he did get angry. Righteous anger. You know, I totally see what he's doing. He says, stretch out your hand, and it was completely healed. So why did Jesus become angry at these religious leaders? It all goes back to God, his word, and his rules. He was defending God because they are God, the word that God is all about, and that is grace. It all comes down to grace. Restoring the man's hand, Jesus came to serve and not to be served. Okay? And if you think about it, you know, I learned this about studying this passage is, you know, Jesus didn't even do a work, to be honest with you. All he said to the guy, he's just standing there like this. He goes, stretch your hand out. He didn't even do a work to begin with, if you want to get technical about it. And the guy did was lift his hand up and it was healed like that. Right? So he contradicts him at every point. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. The religious leaders didn't care. You know, that's another thing about this whole thing with these sick people, these Pharisees. They didn't care about this guy's hand. They cared about the religious act. They cared about the day. They cared about the rules. Look at that. He says the religious leaders didn't care about the man's hand because they had wicked and withered hearts. They didn't care about the guy for 1 second. All they cared about was their rules and their regulations. It was our, they thought about our stuff, my rules, our traditions on this day. Think about Jesus. He wasn't paid to heal this guy. He wasn't offered anything to do what he did. In all actuality, he just told him, as I said earlier, he just told him to stretch his hand out. And you could see the burning anger in the Pharisees, the hatred, their deep evil. He didn't even lift a hand. The man just needed grace from Jesus. And that's what it comes down to today. Grace, God's riches at whose expense? Christ's expense. And as we thought about the blood that was shed for each and every one of us, because it's a free gift. It's a free gift. For grace, we are saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Thank you, David. Yep. Sums it right up. It's very clear. Very clear. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's through His mercy He has saved us, says that Titus. And it's not of works. It's a gift. It's a free gift of grace that we have nothing to do. Do you really think the thief on the cross had time to get down off of that cross and go do a bunch of good works to get have eternal life? He, in his heart, believed Jesus on who he was. And he got changed right there. That's the depth of grace, really. The depth of it. I mean, God is... I mean, you know, it's terrible. It's these times out there are so wicked and so sickening. It just, you know. But God, in His mercy, and through, you know, the penalty that was paid through Jesus, what He did for sin, it all goes back to sin, not a mistake, not a bad day, I didn't know any better. It goes back to three little letters, S-I-N. That's all it goes back to. And God knew that an animal sacrifice was never, ever going to pay for our wicked hearts. Absolutely. The heart is desperately wicked. You know, who could know it? Right. Desperately wicked. Who could know that? Because grace, Jesus just looked at him. Because of the Pharisees' traditions and rules and regulations, they didn't want grace to take place. You think about it. When Jesus was doing this, they didn't want grace to take place is what happened, what was going on with the Pharisees, what they had in their hearts. You know, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Okay? Religion is about what others want from you. Right? Okay. Christianity is about what God wants for you. Religion is about rules, regulations, and rituals and requirements. Christianity is simply about a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what it comes down to. You know, and I'm not trying to bash too bad. I mean, you know, I was raised a Catholic, and you know, I just as a young kid, you know, I remember getting baptized, and you know, just they had the sacraments and this and that. And I was an altar boy and this and that, and but it was just always rules, regulations, and you know, you got to do this and that and stuff like that. And I just never seemed to get anything out of that. I just never, you know. You get a little bit of a message during that sermon or something like that, but you know, I always had a yearning for more, but it just kind of battled, and I'm not trying to It's just that it comes down to just what I just said. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. No question about it. He's the only one that could fill your empty room in your soul. He's the only one. No question about it. I try to tell people that are struggling with drugs and alcohol, or they're irritable, their jobs are this or that, they're at the end of the rope and this and that. They've tried everything but Jesus Christ. Because He's the only one that could take anything away from what you're going through. No doubt about it. And when He does, it's gone. You don't have a desire to whatever you're holding on to, you're searching for your ailments or your anxieties, your depression, because that's what the devil wants to do. He just wants to bombard you every day. He'll do anything he can to daily accuser of the brethren. He's always going before the Lord saying, look at this guy. He ain't living right. He ain't doing right. And he wants you depressed. He wants to step on you. He wants to keep you down. And God wants just the opposite. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be positive. Because he wants you to have a sound mind. He wants you to have a Christ-filled mind, keeping focus, and always in prayer. I tell you what, the best way to combat your day having bad days is just turn everything off, turn your television off, turn your radio off, and pray. And it works. I'm telling you. You know, every day is just a joy, you know. You know, just being alone with the Lord. Sometimes when I come to work, I go get my van. I'll come in the auditorium here. And I'll get on my knees and nobody's here. I just sit and pray. And I tell you what, I feel a million times better when I walk out of here. I'm telling you. My day goes a lot better. I don't, you know. Hey, we all get down about life or situations. I mean, we're human, okay? We all go through depression. I do. I'm not saying I don't. You know, your family matters, or somebody's not doing well, your friends or your brothers are hurting, or, you know, you could get down about certain things. But, you know, keeping focused on the Lord and just praying and worshiping and having that relationship, see, it comes back to a relationship. You know, hey, I could always go to the Father with anything at any time. It says pray what? Without ceasing. Pray in your car, in your bedroom, at dinner, while you're driving. It doesn't matter. You know, and another thing is keeping busy in the Lord's work. Doing this ministry on Wednesday with these kids, that keeps your mind focused. You know, and we as a team, you know, getting these little kids in here and getting them focused on the Lord instead of this world that has absolutely nothing to offer these young kids. And then they're driving these kids in and we're giving the word, and Grace is cooking this food, and everybody's in a good mindset at that time. That's a good thing. You know, I wasn't too educated when I first came here about all that stuff, but, you know, Dan and Ray, some of the people, and Bruce that was running that ministry and stuff like that, you know, you learn. You learn, and it's a good thing. And, you know, we started off with like one or two kids. Now we're at like 9, 10, 11. We got the one lady, Jasmine, bringing her kids in. I mean, I just think that's, nobody does that. They're not going to drive a block, let alone 10 miles, to bring their kids over here. I mean, it's just a struggle to get the kids over here. You know, so we're learning about what the Lord is. He's all about goodness and grace, for by grace we are saved through faith. Okay, now, in Mark 3, again, it says, then the Pharisees went out, and look at this. You know, they went out after Jesus corrected them again and told them the truth. He says, they went out and began to plot with the what? The Herodians, how they might kill him. Oh, my gosh. How do you go from the Sabbath and doing good, and now all the... They hated Jesus so bad. They just hated him. They hated him because he stuck it to them. He really did. He goes, because it's just like the Herodians, how they were going to kill him. Is this the best the Pharisees have? That's the best they got? They got Jesus. He heals. He does a good thing. He heals this man's hand. And to reward him, they want to kill him? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, if you think about it, it makes absolutely no sense. You know, it's not okay to heal on the Sabbath, but it's okay to go out and hire a hitman to go kill Jesus. That's okay. You know, I think about what Jesus went through during that time with these Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you think about this, you know, if God himself is mad, we're mad too. I mean, I think about you, we just think about that. And it's like, I could see how that human part of Jesus, he was human in the flesh, but he was also God too. But you could see when it says he was angry, okay? He was angry with these people. And he was just saying to them, you know, it's just like they're so wicked, he's just calling them completely out. Because it makes no sense. And when I was reading that, I'm thinking, you're going to condemn this man for doing a good thing on your so-called day, but on the other hand, since he did such a good thing, you want to reward him by killing him. That's how wicked the Pharisees are. You know, we cannot add or subtract to God's word, because the plagues will be added to us. That's why, hey, whatever God says, whatever the Bible says, whatever he says about hell, about judgment, it's going to happen. Don't add to that. No, I don't know about that one. I don't think there is a hell. I don't think we're going to go to hell. I think if we do, it's going to be very temporary. No, it's not. He says it's forever. You better get right with him now or forget about it. It's one or the other. There's no purgatory where you're going to go there for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and then all of a sudden he's going to let up. Not going to happen. You know, God, we've said before, he puts his own name above, or his own word above his name. So in conclusion, it's not okay. The bottom line is, people that want to be religious and do religious things, you know, and works to God in his sight is a filthy rag. So what it comes down to is, you know, you could keep your religion. Keep your religion, but give me Jesus any day of the week. And we give all the glory to him. And I think about it, because without him, we'd have a lost eternity, because life is short down here. And I tell you what, coming to church, having this place, having the people in this church is a blessing. Having Bible study on Wednesday night is a blessing. Doing the ministry is a blessing. And being in the Word and praying and loving one another and helping one another out and not judging one another is a blessing. So as we learn about this passage today, may it bless each and every one of us, because it surely did me. Father, we thank you for this time that you brought us out to church today again, Lord. Church is such a good thing, Lord. We thank you for your grace that you've died for us and washed us clean, Lord. You know, washed our sins clean yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, Lord. We thank you for that blessing. And let us be Christ-like towards others, not judging others and loving them and trying to encourage them as best we can, Lord, to your Son. And we are blessed down here, Lord. And we continue to lift this ministry up on Wednesday nights, Lord. And we thank you for the ministry that Bill Kelly does downtown, Lord. That's a good thing, too. And, you know, just keep blessing our activity, Lord, till we come home, Lord. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.
And he says, don't go tell nobody. Let my words speak.
Exactly.